And good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink. Lauren Landis took today off because I don't like this today.
I'll be feeling better, Lauren.
He has allergies.
When Lauren gets his laryngitis, it's pretty bad.
So he's taking today off. He'll be back with us next week. Our guest is the Witter, Aaron Moore.
The who?
The Witter.
Witter?
Uh-huh.
Why am I a Witter?
Because you're married to the late Patty Fink.
Oh, I see. The Witterer.
Yes. The Witterer. And today is Pledge Drive. We're asking you to open up your hearts and your pocketbooks to KNON.
Oh, help thank God. I thought you were going to start singing Taylor Dane there.
Oh, I should have. because get me to stop singing, call in a pledge. 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. And make a pledge to KNON.
And I want to thank Cam and Linda for stopping by the studio last week and doing a generous donation in cash for the show. So thank you, Cam and Linda.
Always say there are certain ways to make donations, and we left one out last week.
Cash?
Which was you can – no, we mentioned that when they walked in with cash, we're probably the only show that gets a walk-in donation.
Yeah.
But there is another way.
You know why? Because we're community radio and we're in the community and we're accessible to everyone. So if you like that kind of radio, you should make a pledge to KNON and more specifically Lambda Weekly, 972-647-1893.
And you can text a pledge in. If you text a message, it's just a very basic form that comes up on your phone. But if you text KNON to 56512, you can make your pledge. It's not as detailed as if you go online where you can pledge to the show, get your pledge premium and everything else right there. But if you just want to make a pledge and say it's for KNON, you can do it that way. So you can text 56512, 56512.
Or you can call us right now. We have operators standing by. And waiting for your call. 972-647-1893.
And our operators, both Doc and Bill Johnson are here.
Yes.
Bill Johnson, of course, is the new split personality or the joined personality of Chris and Josh. That's his KNON personality.
So are you like cell replicating division here?
I think so.
No, he just has different personalities for everything he does. His book. Did we ever mention your book on the air? Okay, Josh, or Bill Johnson as he's better known, is the number one selling gay poet on Amazon right now. And that was as a result of, and all because of us,
of course,
when we had our two other authors on.
Yeah, Kendall.
Kendall Alexander was on. And Kendall Alexander, that's when we realized the split personality. He has two names. Kendall Alexander is two people.
Kendall actually split into two people.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
She writes under one name, but she's two people.
But she's two people, and Josh just has three names, but is all the same person. Well, anyway, Christopher Lee is his writing name, and he turned up to be the number one selling gay poet on Amazon that week.
How about
congratulations.
That?
Congratulations. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, that is.
All because of your show.
All because of... Well, our show. You've been doing the show.
That's right.
Well, he'd say your show still because Bill has only been with us for 2 weeks now.
Actually, a week.
So you should offer to do a signing to raise money for Lambda Weekly.
I should.
Sign some of your online poetry.
anyway, not that we got off topic at all. It is Pledge Drive. Make a call, 972-647-1893.
Give us some money so we can get better tables that I don't ram my knees into.
And you can pledge $46,000 if you'd like.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it costs $46,000 to keep KNON on the air. And we have a breakdown.
Every month.
That's the tower lease, the pledge premiums, the accounting fees, the office rent, phone service, all that stuff. It comes to about $46,000 a month. Now, the rabbi before us was on the air, and he was saying that, you know, we don't ask anybody for that amount, but we ask everybody to call in, just do your part. So, you know, a $40 pledge gets you a T-shirt, and we love those pledges. A, you know, $100 pledge, you can get some of our fleece wear. like Aaron is wearing.
You know, you kind of stole my thunder. I was going to talk about the fleecewear in much more
Well, we're going to.
Detail.
We're going to, and we'll get back
because
to that.
Because I'm a lesbian.
Yes, you are.
And we wear fleece.
You do.
All of us.
You do.
Yes.
And I learned a new distinction about fleece just now, because Aaron's saying, if you see the podcast, the video podcast, that
there's chunky fleece. There's chunky, large curd fleece.
It's large curd.
That looks like it's still on the sheep. And then there's small curd fleece that's like the microfiber, like you see in REI, because all lesbians shop at REI and wear fleece. That's what we have. We have this really cool new KNON fleece jacket.
And it goes for how much?
$100 pledge can get you the black zip-up jacket. And it has two pockets. I love how we distinguish this stuff.
It's got a couple.
It's got two pockets. But it's really cool. It feels good. And it's like hugging a teddy bear, and I'm going to have to pledge to get it.
But it doesn't have a fleece, a cup holder in it.
No, yeah. There's no cup holder. Yeah.
So,
but it is fleecy goodness.
Well, but there's a complimentary accessory set that comes that you could get in addition to that.
Complimentary as in goes with, not complimentary as in free, because nothing here is free. If you want to pay for community radio, it's a navy blue beanie, scarf, and glove set for $50. Now look, Arctic Blast is coming. Mm-hmm. According to everyone, start panicking now. Buy your fleece and hat and glove set. Just say it.
972-647-1893. Now, if you want us to stop this nonsense,
please just go ahead.
Now, one of the things our station manager always says, and the people like Don O, who is always our top fundraiser on this station, he always says, you know, don't ask for a $5 pledge, because if you do, that's what you're going to get. Just ask for what you really want. What I really want is somebody to call in with a monthly pledge of $46,000, and that way we won't have to do this.
Exactly. This 972, would solve it for everybody.
972-647-1893, even if you only wanted to do that $46,000 pledge for just 1 year.
Or just 1 month. That, you know, just 1 month.
And maybe call 12 of your friends to also make
I was going to say, so we need 12 $46,000 pledges.
We do. 972-647-1893. We also need those $50 and $100 pledges, too. So give
us
a call.
You know what else is fleece? Just going to say this right now, because Arctic Blast.
The apron.
No. There's a fleece blanket for $50.
Yes, there is.
So you can get a hat and glove scarf set, a fleece blanket, and a fleece jacket for a $200 pledge. It's a bargain. Arctic Blast.
Then you're set.
Arctic Blast.
Small curd.
Arctic Blast. And we have fleece.
972-647-1893.
And if you do make that $46,000 pledge for 1 month, be sure to put Lambda Weekly or just LW or that gay show, that queer show, you know, something like that, or you know, that Crazy David. You know, that would do it, too. That would get us credit for that.
And talking about monthly pledges, we actually do love these monthly pledges if you're donating $10 a month, $20 a month, whatever, because that ensures a steady income coming into the station. And when we say, we're not asking for the $5 pledge, but if that's what you can do, please call us with it. But we are asking for a $10 a month pledge, because those are very, very helpful to the station. Call us now. Tell us you'd like to start a bank draft. You can do it with your checking or savings account. An automatic monthly draft will occur from your account. You can have it deducted the first of the month, the middle of the month, however you set the date. And it's easy, and you select your amount that's going to come. If you'd like to pledge a dollar a day, that's $30 a month. 972-647-1893. We'll just get your basic information. Somebody from the station will call you back during the week and get the information they need to set up the bank.
And if you think of it as a $120 pledge and with a payment plan.
There you go. You could set that up and you could get, you know what, fleece for the Arctic Blast.
You can.
Or you could get the hat, glove, and scarf set. Divvy it up, send it to the newly elected Republicans, and say, for your cold, cold heart, here you go. Right?
And speaking of cold hearts.
Yes.
The elections were this week, and let's start talking a little bit about the elections.
Yeah, let's actually talk about something.
You know, in South Carolina, South or North was Clay Aikman running?
South Carolina.
Aikman? Aiken. Clay Aiken.
Yeah, Clay Aiken used to play for the Cowboys.
Clay Aiken used to play for the Cowboys. Clay Aiken came in second on American Idol. Nobody told him that second in politics isn't as good as it is on American Idol. Yeah. An American Idol, second place means you won. You're going to go on, do Broadway, get hit records, and you're going to have a career.
Lots of second winners do way better than the Idol winners.
So you aim for second place on American Idol.
You know what the winner that year got? A spot on Biggest Loser.
Now.
He did. He was on Biggest Loser a few seasons ago. Not that I watch it. You know, he lost, and he lost pretty badly from what I remember from the returns.
Yeah, he did.
When I wasn't, you know, drowning in my own tears.
North Carolina.
Yeah. But I got to give him props for doing something other than what would be easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's an entertainer, and he ran for political office because he wanted to make a difference. And I think Ashley Judd did the same thing a few years ago.
She was talking about running for Mitch McConnell's seat.
Yeah. So, I mean, I am ecstatic to see personalities that have fame and have money use them for something other than their own benefit, you know. And political office is not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. And they're going to get some humility.
Do you know, I was thinking about who has won, who's run, who had a name before in
Ronald
the entertainment
Reagan?
Fields. And what's interesting is we talk about liberal Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
And all of those liberals who've tried to get into office, the only one I can think of who's actually won is Al Franken. And there are probably a couple of others who have.
Oh, liberal?
Liberals.
Yeah.
But on the Republican side, Fred Thompson, Ronald Reagan, Fred Gandy, Sonny Bono. A number of Republicans from the entertainment fields have won.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
You know why Hollywood has a liberal reputation?
Arnold Schwarzenegger's another one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It goes all the way back to the film Deep Throat, mm-hmm. actually. And they were going to criminalize and put in jail an actor in that film.
Mm-hmm.
And the actors in Hollywood like bonded together and said, you know, regardless of what the piece is, it's art. And this actor was simply portraying a role. That's not criminal.
Mm-hmm.
And so they stood behind this actor because mm-hmm. he was an actor. And that's where they got this reputation for being liberal, kind of crazy, you know, and because they really unified.
Well, and I think that during the House Un-American Activities Committee stuff, you know, they were being accused of being communists and liberals and all of this,
radical.
Whether or not it was true. So, I mean, that reputation, I think, has a hangover.
Hence the blacklist.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, well, that's really depressing. Let's go back to the more enlightening news, like the election. So,
if only the election were in Fleece.
And yes, because, you know what?
Large curtain
Arctic
fleece.
Blast. But do you want to ask me a question, or do you want me to make a global statement?
I thought you were in the middle of
a rant?
I was going to say make brilliant comments.
I will. Shut up. Yeah. Let me talk. Okay. God bless Dallas County. Because we're like this spot of blue and a sea of red up here. So Dallas County held on to most of its Democratic positions, save one that I know of, that are wholly contained in Dallas County. So the work that was done this year was amazing because we all thought we would lose a seat or two, and we really didn't. We lost district attorney
attorney race. And that was for other reasons.
And that
really.
Was for other reasons, exactly.
And barely.
Yeah.
It was only, you know, maybe 3,000 votes or something.
There was a lot of controversy around that race for a lot of reasons.
That was a person who lost.
Yeah.
That was not a party that lost at all.
But Wendy won Dallas. You know, Letitia won Dallas. All the statewide won in Dallas. Unfortunately, they didn't win anywhere else in the state, mostly.
Wendy won Dallas County handily.
Mm-hmm. Handily, yeah.
Interestingly, she won his county. Greg Abbott won her county.
Yeah, and Letitia lost her county,
yeah.
which surprised me. Letitia lost Bexar County.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so first of all, congratulations and proper respect to the Dallas County Democratic Party for getting that done. And all of the clubs and volunteers that worked so hard on that, you know, the Battleground people, my organization, the Stonewall people, the party did a great job of organizing volunteers and Democratic clubs and we got it done again, which is really kind of amazing to me because I didn't. I
Harris
had,
County, Houston.
All of them lost.
Went Republican.
Yep.
The next biggest county that went blue was Travis County,
yep.
Austin.
Yep.
El Paso did, and
El Paso did big.
And the other one that did big was Hidalgo County.
Hidalgo, yeah.
Down on the border was a huge percentage. But Dallas County, of the urban counties,
we're it.
We delivered the most vote. We did not deliver the most votes. Wendy actually got more votes in Houston, but that's how much bigger Harris County
that's
is.
That's population,
than,
yeah.
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 But by percentage.
But lost. On the downside, the state went mostly red again, and mm-hmm. we can talk about whys and wherefores and do a postmortem if you'd like to.
Sure. Let's start talking a little bit about that.
But I want to bring up one more thing about Dallas County first. For the first time that I know of, at least, in Dallas County, the voters voted on GLBT rights, and mm-hmm. it passed overwhelmingly to get non-discrimination in the city charter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's largely...
Now, this was misreported mm-hmm. in a way across the country. Dallas County, for the first time, voted for gay rights, is the way it was spun.
Mm.
And this
That's
was something
–
we had an ordinance that protected city workers for 20 years or so.
Yeah.
It passed in 1994, I believe.
Yeah.
And maybe it was 95.
It was 95.
It was 95. It was okay.
It was an internal policy in 93, and it became
– An ordinance.
Yeah.
It was an ordinance by 95, and so we – passed absolutely nothing new. The wording was clearer in this one than it was in the ordinance, but it didn't change any protections, didn't add protections for transgender people. Those were there, it just wasn't clear because our ordinance was so old.
Right, and then the ordinance in 2002 was for people who live and work in Dallas, mm-hmm. in the city of Dallas, but for employees. And this was really a very inclusive, categories of folks who were included. Sadly, the charter all of this time until now has been very skimpy on who specifically was included in in protections. And that was basically race, religion,
There just haven't been any charter updates particularly.
Been a long time, yeah.
In years. So this updated the charter. It was voted on, and this is the point that's significant, I think. It was voted on, 77% voted for this charter amendment. It wasn't – we had 9 propositions on the ballot. There were two that had been campaigned for that got a slightly higher vote.
One campaigned on that didn't do – that barely,
barely passed.
One barely passed. One failed. And the others passed, but with a lower margin than the non-discrimination ordinance, which says people were picking and choosing, and they chose to vote for non-discrimination. And this is important,
yeah.
It was voted on bipartisan. And we know that because that ordinance got a higher percentage than Democrats got.
Now, to be fair, non-discrimination wasn't the only thing in that proposition. It was adding a lot of other classes like veteran status, and
it was all non-discrimination, though.
Yeah, it was all non-discrimination. But,
and the
GLBT,
headline on the ballot said non-discrimination.
I know, but I meant for LGBT citizens. So,
but it does specifically include sexual orientation,
it does.
Gender identity expression, and genetic characteristics.
Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to downplay it, but I'm just saying
it added more.
It added more, and as it should. And I think it's a great precedent.
And look what's gone on in Houston, mm-hmm. which also for the first time was adding those things.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that right after the break. It is Pledge Drive, 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. give us a call. Operators are standing by, and they will take your call. 972-647-1893. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
This is William. I download Lambda Weekly podcast from LambdaWeekly.com.
And you are listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink, and our guest is the witter Aaron Moore.
We were just having a rousing discussion of flannel versus fleece, because you know why? Arctic blast.
It's a coming.
It's coming.
It is a coming.
And you can get ready for it with a KNON fleece jacket for $100.
Do you know the other thing that'll protect you from? Ebola.
No.
No?
No, but You can be warm while you have it.
So,
but for a $100 pledge, you can get the new, I think it's new, I've never seen it, KNON fleece jacket, because if it had been around, I'd have had it by now. You can also get a fleece blanket for $50 pledge or a navy blue beanie scarf and glove set for $50. That's a bargain.
And those are small curd fleece.
They are small curd fleece. They're all small micro fleece. They call it. There's different classes of fleece. Yeah. There's.
Does micro fleece come from micro sheep?
American sizes. Yes.
Micronesia.
Micronesia.
It comes from Micronesia. But yes. So Doc was asking if he wears fleece, does he have to be a lesbian? And I said no, he just has to be honorary. So, fleece jacket, Arctic Blast, $100 pledge, 972-647-1893.
Now, KNON has lost 18 shows over the last 3 years. Don't let Lambda Weekly be the next one to go because we didn't make our pledge goals. Our goal is, we didn't have an envelope last week, yes, we have several $100 more to go. Station is halfway to its pledge goal already. Actually, we're beyond halfway. This is the best that the station has done in pledge drive in several years.
In terms of the fast start.
It is a good
fast
start.
Which is really not saying a whole lot. I mean, we need our listeners to step up and, mm-hmm. and donate. I mean, Lambda Weekly is one of the most unique shows on the air here, and if you don't preserve the show, you don't preserve our voice in this community. Mm-hmm. So give us a call at 972-647-1893.
And I would just make a shout-out to all of the organizations that have been represented with people on coming on this show and talking about events, talking about upcoming celebrations of various sorts. This show has supported our community, and we'd love for our community to show support for this show mm-hmm. and this station. Give us a call, 972-647-1893.
And, you know, most radio stations in Dallas and in every major city, they get their programming from somewhere else. And by that I mean even if it's a live DJ in the studio playing music, the music that he plays is programmed in New York or L.A. or Nashville. On KNON, we don't do that. If it's a music show, you play the music you want to play. If it's a talk show, nobody's telling us what we should be saying.
And it's
award-winning.
Believe it
or not, nobody tells us what we should. Can you believe that?
I can't believe it.
Yeah, no.
Maybe
it's
they
award-winning
should.
Best talk radio in Dallas, according to the Dallas Observer.
And the reason that we got that is because we're not doing the pre-programmed, this is the person making the circuit right now, and this is the person that you have to talk to on your talk show. It comes from us. It comes from the community.
And if you're out and about town on this lovely day before, you know what, the Arctic Blast, you can text on your phone and get a form, a real simple form to fill in to text 56512. KNON to 56512, and the form will come up. And David just learned how to text last week. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you're one of those people, give it a
laughing,
try.
He's kind of sliding into to the modern times with the first.
I did send
welcome
a text.
Welcome to 1995, David.
Thank you.
Okay. So, yeah.
Okay, speaking of 1995, here's another reason that you should make a pledge to KNON. And this doesn't come from me. This comes from the station. There are no radio executives, market researchers, or overpaid consultants influencing airplay on 89.3 KNON FM.
Are there paid consultants? Never mind overpaid.
There are no overpaid ones. There are no underpaid ones. There's just people like us. But I like there are no radio executives. Dave Chaos doesn't consider himself a radio executive, just the station manager.
Yep.
So,
yep, that's true. That's
yep,
true.
Yep. And, you know, it's somebody to whom, I have to say this, Dave, we love you. We pay absolutely no respect to you.
You know, I got to say, when I'm driving around town, I listen to, you know, a lot of different stations, and I always seem to wind up on KNON because mm-hmm. it's always interesting. And
different.
Different. And so many of the other stations are just the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I heard this song three times already. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you do listen to any of the music stations here, or you tune in on Sundays to listen to Lambda Weekly and hear about our community on our community station, then you need to support that station. Give us a call, 972-647-1893.
And, you know, one of the things that I think is so exciting about KNON is that when you have a lot of KNON wear, as I do, or you have a bumper sticker on your car or a cap or whatever, and you're around town, out and about, there is always, it's unanimous, there's always someone who will walk up to you and go, hey, KNON.
I love KNON.
Love KNON.
Yeah.
I listen to KNON.
And it's instant community, and I keep saying that word a lot, but we're community radio in a community that creates community and speaks to our community. And Arctic Blast. So you want to get your fleece jacket to wear in the community.
You know, and it's not just our show. You know, some people think, okay, well, you're the gay show, and so, yeah, 1 hour a week is said. Well, you know, if you like gospel music and you don't want to hear gay bashing on gospel music,
you have
gospel on our station. Country music. Generally, country music is not known for being a bastion of liberal thought. Here on our station, do you know, right after we won that award, I walked into the station and somebody from one of the country shows was here in the station. He said, oh, congratulations, that's fabulous. You know, because that's how we are at KNON. And we all support each other. And
the Jewish Music Hour.
Mm-hmm.
And
the only one. There isn't a single Jewish Music Hour that can be heard on the air anywhere else in North Texas or even Oklahoma.
Wow.
Believe it or not.
Huh. You know those Oklahoma Jews are. But, you know, some people may know this. I'm a Louisiana transplant. And
Jewish Music Hour there.
No. Not that I know of. But if I get particularly homesick, I'll tune into the Zydeco show and just, you know, listen to some good Louisiana music coming over the air. You know, and people have told me and stopped me and they say, hey, you're on KNON from time to time, or used to be. And they'll say, you know, that show was really pivotal in me coming out, or it was one of the only places I could get my gay and lesbian news easily. You know, thank you for what you're doing. And if you've ever had that kind of experience, if you've ever stopped and heard something that you didn't hear anywhere else on this show, then you need to support the show.
972-647-1893. Josh is standing by. Chris is standing by. Bill is standing by. Doc is standing by.
That's a lot of people
we do
here.
It's not a lot of people. It's a lot
of
personalities. Lots of identities.
So back to the nastiness.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to throw it. Since it's the bottom of the hour and Laurent's not here and we don't have an entertainment report,
right.
I just want, when we're talking about country music, a kind of tidbit this week.
Oh, yeah.
Is that Follow Your Arrow, a country song that's very pro-gay, won Song of the Year at the Country Music Awards.
And they're getting some backlash for it, but it's a great song. And I think actually they're getting more backlash because it says smoke a joint if you want to or not, you know, rather than the kiss lots of boys or kiss lots of girls if you're into that is, I think, what it says. And I don't know, I'm butchering the lyrics, but I think it's very cool that last year and actually the year before we had a rap song that was about pro-gay
Frank
equality.
Ocean, sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wasn't thinking Frank Ocean. I was thinking Macklemore and Lewis.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then this year we have the Song of the Year from a country artist. Mm-hmm. So it's
things are changing.
Yeah, things are
not
really changing.
Not here at KNON. KNON's been on board since 1983 when the station went on the air.
Right. We've been on since August of 1983.
Right. And just because others are coming around, good for them, but this is the place you need to support.
Yeah.
So 972-647-1893.
KNON was cool before anybody else.
KNON was cool before country was cool or something.
Yeah.
You know what? Arctic Blast.
972-647-1893.
I'm excited about it.
For $46,000 pledge, Aaron will stop saying Arctic Blast.
And you can get everything you want. You can get all of this stuff. You can get everything on here.
And for your friends, 972-647-1893.
We'll put that in a bank draft. We're talking a little bit about
the bank draft. Exactly.
Well, for a $1,000 pledge, you get a studio plaque. I mean, imagine how many plaques you could get for $46,000.
46 plaques.
Yeah.
A month.
A month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We need a bigger studio.
Exactly.
972-647-1893. Give us a call. You know, we're joking around here because this is my 927th Pledge Drive show, and we enjoy doing it, but we really love doing this show. And the serious part is help keep us on the air, because if a show doesn't get its pledges, the show is gone.
Yep.
So 972-647-1893. We were talking about the election this week. What do you think the effect is going to be? Because Republicans won the Senate. Republicans won again throughout the state.
Okay, which one first? National?
Either one.
Okay, statewide, I mean, everybody's womp-womp, and we had hoped that the outcome would be different, and a lot of people worked very hard to make sure that, or to try and make sure that the outcome was different, and it wasn't. But frankly, we haven't lost any ground. We're exactly where we were before the election. We just had gotten our hopes up that things could change because they're changing so rapidly elsewhere. I think that we've got a lot more education to do, but besides the lieutenant governor, I mean, Abbott's been around. You know, he's not going to have any more or less influence.
But will he make us say, gee, I long for those good old days with Rick Perry?
Do you really think anyone's going to say that?
I used to still say it when it comes to, gee, Rick Perry makes George Bush look like a good governor.
Well, I mean, things can always get worse, but we don't know that yet. And we know that they're not going to get better anytime soon, but we don't know that they're going to get worse anytime soon. And all this means is that we've just got to be more vigilant during the upcoming legislative session. We have got to do what we've always done and what we're really good at, which is stay vigilant, go to the hearings, testify about our lives, tell our stories, and let people know that we're constituents of this state too. I mean, and that's what we do, that's what we've done, that's what Equality Texas is so good at. I really wish the outcome had been different because then we wouldn't have to work so hard at just the basic education and defending our rights. We could actually make some advances. But the kind of not so silver lining but not so dark lining is not much has changed.
But something has changed in the Senate.
In the National Senate, yes. In the United States Senate, we have lost control. We now have a divided government between a Democratic president and a Republican Congress. Been there before, too. I mean, that's...
But not with Tea Party Republicans in office and in strong positions.
Which they have really extremist positions, but that actually gives me more hope than you would expect because I think it's going to take the Republican Party longer to agree what's the right direction. Not everybody is a reasonable politician who just happens to have a different ideology. People within the Republican Party are fighting amongst themselves about how far to go.
And you just duplicated the headline. New York Times had a headline this week that said, before battling Democrats, GOP is fighting itself.
So yep. I'm a smart person, and which is why you have me on. But my point is there's so much infighting in the Republican Party now. They're dinosaurs. They're doomed. They know it if they keep going the direction they're going. They need to start being current on social issues, and maybe that means that, one, they can't agree on how horrible and hateful to be, or two, maybe they agree that maybe they don't need to be that horrible and hateful. So I'm actually, again, we're not going to make any advances, but I'm not as pessimistic as a lot of people I know about how horrible it's going to be.
I'm most concerned about Dan Patrick as lieutenant governor, because we know that for all it's worth, the state of Texas is run by a lieutenant governor.
Most state senators are concerned about Dan Patrick as lieutenant governor.
And I think, you know, we've gone from days of battling bad stuff in Austin, because the Texas legislature, for new people to Texas or those who don't know, the Texas legislature meets every other year for 140 days. So we're about to start that cycle again, and they're going to open the session in January, and crazy happens, or it can happen. And we battle bad stuff, and then we got to a place where we're kind of like on an even keel, and we began to introduce some good stuff for us. And we're kind of making some advances the last session, and now I think we're going to be focusing on battling, defending, and fending off
bad
stuff.
And that's what Equality Texas said this week, that the last three sessions have been offensive sessions. Mm-hmm. This one's likely to be a defensive session.
And, you know, as one of the people who is the great distinction and privilege of being thrown out of Warren Chisholm's office, you know, we've been here too. We know how to do this. It's just a pity and a shame, and we're tired of doing it. You know, I mean, and that's what I think all the want is right now. It's like, oh, this again? And it's the same thing on the women's rights battles. It's like we're having to fight the same fights we were fighting in the 70s. Really, people? Get over it. Move on, you know? And it is sad, and it's going to be hard, and we need to recharge our batteries.
So you're one of those people who think that women who are doing the same job as a man should get paid the same thing?
Yeah, and I also think that, you know, because I know where my parts are, I should have control of my parts.
And if you don't? Because we do have a legislator, a woman legislator from Plano, who doesn't understand that a rape kit doesn't prevent a rape.
Right, but I have a lot more white.
She was reelected too.
I have a lot more white men telling me what to do with my parts than I do.
Yes, you know, that's only because I love you.
No, thanks.
The right wing considers, you know, keeps yelling about a nanny state, and I call it a daddy state because, you know, there's so many daddies out, white, heterosexual, so-called Christian men, white men, old white men in this state who want to decide everything for women and children everywhere, and everybody else who's not them. And it's just nuts.
Right.
But I think one of the things that we keep talking about, we have to fight this again, we have to do this. Well, there's a lot of we that hadn't been doing anything, because only a third of Texans who are registered to vote voted in this election. So I have a call out to all of the folks out there who self-identify as LGBT or an ally, and you need to get off your ass and do something this time.
Greg Abbott
because
got
we will not protect our rights that we've gains we've made so far without your help.
Just to make it real clear, Greg Abbott won with about 2.7 million votes. Over 9.5 million people, 9.5 million registered voters in Texas didn't bother.
Exactly. And that includes thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not a million, if we think there were 5 to 12% of the population mm-hmm. that didn't vote. That's mm-hmm. LGBT people who did not do their part.
And that's not new either. Texas is the most undervoting state in the nation. And Wendy Davis was absolutely 100% right. This is not a Republican state. This is a non-voting Democratic state. And I agree with you that people have got to care more and got to turn out, but we've got to give them something to care about and turn out for. You know, I mean, if we're not motivating people to get out and vote in non-presidential elections in the same numbers that they vote in presidential elections, then there's a problem with the messaging and the turnout.
There's a problem with turnout in presidential elections,
yeah.
too.
We're 50 in those.
So it's just there's a magic saying, bumper sticker slogan somewhere that's going to say, aha, I do need to go vote. You know, and frankly, this voter ID thing, you know, there were more provisional ballots with less people voting this year than there have been in any other previous election. And that's all voter ID stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's already been ruled unconstitutional, but, you know, it's just inconvenient to repeal it for this election. Well, the heck it was. They wanted to keep people at home. You know, and if there's ever a case for enhanced scrutiny on Voter Rights Act, Texas, please, God, you know, reinstate it. We need the enhanced scrutiny because these jacks are going to, you know, do everything they can to keep people they don't like at home not voting. And it worked. It freaking worked.
But it's in litigation. So all of this hurry up, hurdle, emergency stuff that's happened here at the end with the Supreme Court saying go ahead for this election, that's all just because this election was looming. It's moving its way through the federal court, and we may
hopefully not only will it be overturned, but it'll backfire. In mm-hmm. other words, reinstating some Voting Rights Act provisions. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. It is Pledge Drive, so give us a call, 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
This is Jake Winters from Leicester, England, and I listen to Lambda Weekly on KNON 89.3 FM.
And you are listening to 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and her wife, Erin Moore.
Oh, no.
Her
no,
partner.
No. Yes.
Her friend.
No, not. Yeah. I am not an unfriend. We were talking about that this weekend. I went to the symposium at Hope for Peace and Justice, the Women's Symposium. Mm-hmm. And a woman who was there and I share an ex. And we were talking about how the ex used to call me her friend. This is my friend, mm-hmm. Erin. It didn't last long. But anyway, I am not Patty's friend. I am not Patty's wife because we are not married. We are partners.
But, you know, she's on my insurance now. And now I'm a dependent. Yeah. But it's kind of cool that you know, she's getting
that you can be.
Yeah. No, I think it's awesome.
It's a nice backup to have.
Yeah.
And my company's offered it for as long as I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We've had those.
But I am a domestic partner.
Yeah.
And a dependent.
And that's okay, you know?
It's so nice to have you dependent.
Yes, right. Independent.
Yeah, I wanted to compare, before we go on to some of the legislative stuff that's been going on this week around marriage, I wanted to compare that vote in Dallas and why that 77% that voted for the non-discrimination piece that's going into the city charter is so... It makes me proud to live in Dallas.
Yes, it does me too.
Because of what's going on in Houston.
It makes me proud to live in Dallas because... we know that our neighbors and our coworkers support us.
Mm-hmm.
And that it hasn't been just...
77% of the vote was not the gay community voting.
No. They support us until you go to Arlington or Irving or...
I mean, it was... And when I say it wasn't just the gay community voting,
Denton.
It wasn't just Democrats voting. It was across the board we won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's 77% is considered a landslide.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because 20%... is going to vote no on anything and everything. Would you like to eliminate taxes?
No.
Well, not if the city council has voted on that, I'm not voting. 20% is just going to vote no.
I don't understand where the backlash on HERO, the Houston Equal Rights Ordinance, is coming from. I mean, they've had
the right wing.
Well, mm-hmm. But they've had such a strong LGBT presence and community, and they've done all the basic groundwork that we've done here, and probably... as long as we've done here, they have a lesbian mayor, for goodness sake. You know, why is it so difficult to understand that those protections need to be there? It shouldn't even be a question.
Well, I've been subscribing to the Family Research Council emails that come pretty daily, and really bad puns, I might add. Mm-hmm. Not even groan-worthy. They're that bad. And to follow their logic all of this time, it came up on their radar when it looked like an opportunity to fight something that was pro-gay or pro-LGBT. And they've characterized this as the big bathroom bully bill, you know, all of this stuff. And I just think they're grasping at straws. They're losing in court predominantly, you know, on the marriage front. Marriage is in place in many of their home states. You know,
mm-hmm.
Family Research Council's in Colorado.
Right.
Hey.
Marriage, you know, equality state now.
Yeah, marriage equality state and a pot state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they've got to be really, really livid over there.
I do want it clear. It became a pot state before it became a marriage equality state.
It did.
So, and there are people who...
And so did Oregon.
You know, smoking pot, that's fine. But people getting married?
No.
Not so much.
Yeah, no.
And I just think that our next big fight will be ENDA, and they're pushing back at everything that says that we're equal. I think they're really – because they inundated an East Parker with Bibles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and yeah, they all mailed their Bibles, which was interesting. And again –
And she took them and donated them to mm-hmm.
– Good. To La Quinta Inns?
No, to some liberal churches that can really use them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kate Kendall from the National Center for Lesbian Rights was the keynote at yesterday's symposium, and she said something that was fascinating to me about this whole thing. She's like, you know, we tend to play the oppression Olympics, you know, this is worse than that, or this is more important than that. Equal, you know, protections for employment is more important than hate crimes legislation, is more important than marriage, is more important, whatever. And she said, you know, if she had to pick the fight, marriage wouldn't have been it, but it gained momentum. And if we are to, if we are to be considered equal by the rest of the country, then marriage is it. It all starts with marriage because that's something that they have that we would have too.
It's their special right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even though when you start parsing out individual rights, they may not be as important as marriage, but marriage is the linchpin to all of the other rights.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really thought of it like that before, but now I agree. And I think that the HERO, the Houston Equal Rights Ordinance, I think it's one step too far for the people that are like, well, they're getting marriage. We've got a lesbian mayor. What more do they want?
Mm-hmm.
Equal rights, you know, and non-discrimination?
They're going to make those florists do wedding bouquets for gay and lesbian couples.
Right.
And those
But
Catholic
really,
priests perform gay weddings. That's what they think.
Yeah.
Well,
but first of all,
forced to perform gay weddings.
First of all, how many of those Catholic priests are gay? But second of all, where are they finding all these homophobic?
Let's ask the altar boys.
Where are they finding all these homophobic florists
and bakers?
And bakers.
Well, and that was the
two. It's one of each.
Yeah.
Years ago.
No, more recently.
They're finding.
Too, but,
they're
yeah.
finding them. They're coming out of the woodwork.
But the thing that was brought up about that yesterday too is that the next round of litigation and fighting is going to be on religious freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you are impinging on my religious freedom to make me as a right-wing Christian. Now, when we talk about religious freedom, of course, we're only talking about Christians. As a right-wing Christian, to make a cake for this gay couple.
Which is why I want that North Carolina case, even though North Carolina now has marriage equality, I want that one to go through the courts. Because the North Carolina case was brought by Reform Judaism and UCC, which is the
right.
denomination that Cathedral of Hope belongs to. Mainstream
and the
denomination.
Hmm? And the president.
And the president is also a member of UCC. But that's the case I want to come, because they're saying you're impinging on our right to be allowed to do a marriage that is perfectly not acceptable, because acceptable almost makes it sound like there's something wrong with it, but we accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Reform Judaism, UCC, does same-sex weddings the same as they do opposite-sex weddings, and you're telling us we can't do it. That's impinging on religious freedom.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nobody's telling any church that they can't do or that they have to do a marriage.
No church needs to do a marriage. It's a civil right. And that's, you know, for a time there in the 90s when we were fighting this case after the Hawaii decision, we were calling it civil marriage. And it was to try and get it out of the religious realm. But I think that's where this fight is coming from. It's like, you don't have to. And you don't have, you know, you have the right to. It has nothing to do with you or what you believe.
And the other problem with this is that it's not happened to date. And it doesn't happen before any of this discussion. You know, if you're Catholic and you were previously married and divorced and you didn't get an annulment, mm-hmm. the priest isn't going to marry you in the church.
Well, right.
Period. And lots of I don't know about the Jewish faith, but if you haven't been through like catechism in the Catholic Church, you can't get married either. Mm-hmm. And lots of denominations who are Christian
there
and
are
even right-wing Christian will not do certain marriages.
There are requirements.
Which is why we're winning the marriage fight. But what we're going to start seeing, and I agree, is all of these lawsuits saying that I don't have to provide a service because it's against my religious mm-hmm. beliefs. Which, I'm sorry, if you put yourself out there in the public arena as a public entity and public business, you do.
Yes, but if
it's Jim Crow.
If I have a car rental company and I don't really want a lesbian to rent a car from me, I don't see why I should have to rent to you. It's at that level, though, right?
It is. It is.
Yeah.
Who rents the car from me. I'm making money off
of
it.
Well, exactly.
But you know something?
But if I don't like Jewish people, I don't have to rent to Jewish people.
Right. You don't.
So, yeah, but we digress.
Here's what I want.
Yeah.
If I were to have a wedding, I want to know who those homophobic florists and cake bakers are, because I don't want to use them. So please advertise that you are.
There's probably a cross on their ad somewhere. So.
Probably.
Yeah.
Now, we have to get to this. The Sixth Circuit had a ruling this week. Sixth Circuit ruled that, and this was the crux of their argument, that that marriage is a state right that should work its way through the political process. Now, here's the part I find interesting. Well, first of all, with that ruling, that kind of forces it to the Supreme Court, because there's a difference in
– Wait. Yeah. That was a 2-1.
It was a 2-1.
And they can go the full court.
Well,
they could go the full court.
Two states have already decided to go directly to the Supreme Court. Two states haven't decided, because there are four states in that circuit: Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee. So a couple, and I forgot which states it was that decided to go directly to the Supreme Court. Now, here's the ruling that I find interesting. The next day, West Virginia, which is already a marriage equality state, mm-hmm. issued a ruling in a marriage equality case that was going on in that state. And the lower court, the U.S. District Court, contradicted and specifically wrote a decision that contradicted the Sixth Circuit, even though they're not in the Sixth Circuit. They're in the Fourth Circuit. fascinating decision. What they said was, what's wrong with that decision is that it discounts the fact that the judiciary is part of the political process mm-hmm. in a democracy.
Yes.
That was the crux of it. They're saying, don't say it's not part of the political process. You're a judge. It's your job to decide when a law is unconstitutional.
Yep. Yep. I thought it was a great
It was a great decision. Now, this was a decision that that judge could have ruled, the issue is now moot, and he did not have to write a decision.
Sure.
And that's probably where he was going. Until he heard this Sixth Circuit decision, it infuriated him and overnight came out with this really brilliant defense of the judiciary.
Oh, I thought it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I was really surprised. I was not expecting that in the least.
No. Nobody. No. Yeah. West Virginia, you were expecting in that case for them to rule, okay, it's moot. We have marriage equality.
Well, and I'm actually – I got to say this too. I mean, the Sixth Circuit is sending it up to the Supreme Court, and, you know, that's an express pass. But I'm also more interested in the Fifth Circuit hearings that are going to happen in January because they're contradictory rulings from mm-hmm. lower courts. So that's an automatic almost appeal up to the Supreme Court. You've got Louisiana –
there are two decisions in Louisiana,
right.
One pro, one con.
Con, and then the Texas cases, which were expedited because one of the women is pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually think the Fifth Circuit rulings are going to have more weight as far as any constitutional rulings because it covers such a broader band and it's actually contradictory within its own circuit.
But it's Scalia's, is it not?
What?
The circuits are split between the justices,
mm-hmm.
certainly for the purposes of, say, death penalty
mm-hmm.
appeals and that sort of thing that they have to
And
prevent.
Stays.
Right, and stays. And I think the Fifth is under Scalia.
It is.
And I'm going to put money on the Fifth is going to agree with the Sixth, and that they're going to rule that these bans in constitutions like Texas's are going to be constitutional.
Where the Texas case takes an interesting turn is, like Aaron said, one of the defendants is pregnant now, mm-hmm. and they asked for expedited because they want a ruling before the baby is born to save the money and the time and expense and putting the baby in jeopardy of not having two parents from the time the baby's born.
Right. Well, I mean, the interesting thing about all this is so far the court has ruled so narrowly, or as narrowly as it's been allowed to, and there's such a wide array of reasonings and legal thought coming to the court from the circuit courts about why it is or isn't constitutional that they're going to have to rule broadly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they can rule narrowly anymore.
Oh, no more.
Yeah.
No. They can't take – Ohio, one of the cases I think went to the Supreme Court, but not the case that forced Ohio to recognize marriage for the sake of a death certificate because that one, again, would be such a narrow ruling that
mm-hmm. –
so Ohio didn't even bother with, appealing that one. You know, that was more like a – you know, it applies to two people in that state.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's just what you did was you allowed one of them to keep his house.
Yeah. So anyway, the constitutional battle is going to be interesting and bringing it back to politics because, you know, that's what I do. If we don't we have a lame duck Congress, essentially. We have a lame duck president. We have 2 years to organize to turn this around and to get our butts ready for 2016. And I hate to look that far out and say, oh, well, we'll get it back in 2016 and all. We will if we work hard enough to do it. But the reason that matters is the judicial appointments. I mean, frankly, you know, the Supreme Court down. And if we don't start getting, you know, our rights are never going to be voted on to our benefit.
Except in Dallas.
I'll say rarely are voted on to our benefit. You know, when you put your rights up to public opinion, it's not going to go well. So we need to have it be constitutionally argued.
Right. And let's just wrap it up with Dallas one more time.
Mm.
I do want to say I was so proud of that Dallas vote.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, really made me proud to live here mm-hmm. because you go across the country and those things are never voted in our favor, in anybody's favor.
Right.
Nobody thinks that we should extend those same rights to everybody. People don't vote that way.
But let's remember,
but
too, our history. In 2002, when the non-discrimination ordinance passed 13-2,
mm-hmm.
take a percentage off that,
mm-hmm.
13-2 by the city council, And all of these CEOs of companies, I mean, the CEO of AMR Corporation mm-hmm. spoke on our behalf, of Blockbuster and so many others, and Flip Benham. Mm-hmm. There's Flip Benham on the flip side. Mm-hmm. And then and then all of these other things, when John Loso kind of led the thing for domestic partnership benefits in the city of Dallas, that passed handily. Mm-hmm. And nobody was out there protesting and inundating the mayor with Bibles.
Crap. Downtown at First Baptist, they put up a billboard on it. Good. That's their religious freedom to do that.
Is that a difference in – isn't the Houston council districts – I mean, they're not 14-1, are they? They're all at large.
They're not all at large. They have
wards.
They do have wards, and they elect from that. But they do. The city is divided into super districts.
Super districts, yeah. So yeah. I wonder if that doesn't have something to do with it.
It probably does. We're out of time. It is Pledge Drive 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893.
Fleece, Arctic Blast.
972-647-1893. If you don't know what they were talking about, you just tuned in, you have to go to our podcast and find out. You can still pledge online, KNON.org. Click the pledge button, and you can pledge there. 972-647-1893. We're not running out of the studio yet, so you can still pledge to us, and we'll be in the studio for a few more minutes. We'll see you next week. Our guest next week is Candy Markham.